Today I share with you the details of Barbados's economic performance for the first 9 months of 2018. The process of economic adjustment accelerated during the past 3 months. First, the government of Barbados concluded discussions with the International Monetary Fund, which approved a 4-year extended financing facility arrangement for the country on October 1st. The program with the IMF is built on maintaining the fixed exchange rate anchor of $1 to 2 Barbados dollars, in conjunction with strong fiscal consolidation and the implementation of structural reforms targeted at strengthening macroeconomic performance over the medium term. Critically, it is designed to help restore international reserves by providing phased access to US$290 million over the program period and to catalyze resources from multilateral financial institutions. Already, we have received the first drawdown from the IMF, equivalent to US$49 million. In addition, the Caribbean Development Bank has approved a US$75 million policy-based loan and is anticipated that the Inter-American Development Bank will consider further budgetary support for government in the coming weeks. Second, government has successfully completed a debt exchange offer for its domestic debt securities and accumulated domestic arrears. This exchange encompassed interest rate reductions, extension of maturities, and selective principal reductions in order to complement the broader fiscal adjustment by reducing interest costs and lowering refinancing risks. By creating fiscal space through this initiative, government plans to eliminate its arrears gradually while systematically reducing its overall indebtedness. A debt exchange for its foreign currency commercial debt is planned, execution of which will facilitate a resumption of external debt service, which has been suspended since June 1st. Against the backdrop of the shift in policy, the performance of some key macroeconomic indicators has begun to improve. Of note, the slide in the country's international reserves has abated. Heavy debt service payments prevented any buildup of reserves for much of the first 3 months of the year. However, gross reserves increased by $104 million between late March and the end of September, almost 80% of which occurred from June onward. The recovery in reserves was principally driven by the suspension of external debt service, which alleviated pressure on foreign exchange outflows. Higher fuel imports, caused in large measure by rising oil prices, were offset by a fall in other imports during the review period. In addition, a modest growth in travel credits and stronger capital inflows resulting from increased foreign borrowing by the private sector contributed to the overall improvement in the external accounts. These developments allowed commercial banks to have enough foreign exchange to meet customer demand without recourse to the central bank's stock of reserves. As a result, the gross international reserves, which had been in almost continuous decline since 2012, recovered, enabling the import reserve cover to reach 7.4 weeks of imports. Subsequent to quarter end, the drawdown of the first tranche from the IMF raised the import cover to approximately 8.6 weeks. The public finances also improved during the first half of the fiscal year on the basis of improved collections, the impact of reduced debt service payments, and expenditure restraint. As a result, preliminary estimates are that the overall deficit declined to $34 million, while there was a primary surplus of $235 million. The enhanced revenue performance reflected the impact of a boost to the corporation tax intake of $48.9 million, as several new firms in the international business sector paid taxes for the first time. In addition, the foreign exchange fee introduced in 2017 and some of the new taxes introduced in the mid-year budget contributed $24 million and $18 million respectively. The new fuel tax provided just over $8 million since its inception, due to the late transfer of earned revenue to the Treasury. However, the fall in import demand, together with the repeal of the NSRL, led to reduced indirect taxes, including those for excises and import duties. The suspension of external and domestic commercial debt service lowered interest payments by $105 million and substantially reduced the share of revenue absorbed by interest payments. Additionally, government transfers and subsidies contracted due to a reduction in grants to individuals and public institutions. Capital expenditure also declined. The pressure on the central bank to finance government eased considerably. The suspension of the debt service payments and the subsequent debt restructuring have curtailed government's ability to access financing other than from the central bank. However, the improved fiscal performance and reduced borrowing requirement contained financing to only $14 million by the central bank during the quarter, after rising by $105 million the previous quarter. This was complemented by net foreign financing of $7.5 million from multilateral institutions. The rise in the debt stock tapered off during the quarter, a precursor to stabilizing and ultimately reducing the debt ratio. The debt stock now includes obligations that have been deferred in recent years because of government's cash flow difficulties, but which now have to be repaid on a phased basis. At end September, the stock of debt remained largely unchanged from the previous quarter. Amid the encouraging indicators, economic growth remains a challenge. Preliminary data suggests that economic activity in Barbados contracted by 0.5% during the first 9 months of the year, as reduced activity in the construction sector and the impact of tighter fiscal policy on domestic consumption offset modest gains in the tourism sector. Long-stay tourist arrivals were 2.9% higher than for the corresponding period of 2017, but the continued decline in average length of stay contained the increase in tourism output to 1.4%. The United States and Canadian markets registered growth of 8.7% and 3% respectively. However, arrivals from the United Kingdom grew more modestly, as weaker economic growth and a relatively weak pound hampered growth in this market. Cruise arrivals also declined, as the number of cruise ship visits to the island fell by almost 10%. Output in the construction sector is estimated to have declined significantly, as there were no new large-scale private sector projects to replace a major hotel project that was completed in 2017. In addition, public sector infrastructural development also declined in the context of government's financing constraints and the consequent reduction in capital expenditure. Provisional data suggested that the other non-traded sectors, including wholesale and retail, transportation, storage and communication, and business and other services, contracted moderately. The weakness in the wholesale and retail sector partly reflected lower consumer demand arising from reduced rail incomes, which dampened sales and ultimately imports. The average unemployment rate for the four quarters ending June was 9.2%, compared to 10% at the end of June 2017. The moving average rate of inflation remained above long-term trends and reached 5.6% at the end of July 2018. This was partly due to the impact of the hike in the NSRL in 2017. The pass-through effects of the subsequent elimination of the tax on July 1, 2018 is not yet reflected in the data. The ongoing weakness in economic activity continued to be reflected in depressed private sector credit, which decreased slightly due to broad-based sectoral declines in borrowing, with the exception of the distribution and professional services sectors. Domestic deposits experienced marginal growth of 1%, driven by an increase in deposits of private financial institutions. The financial sector continues to be highly liquid, with the excess cash reserves ratio increasing to 16.2% compared to 15% 1 year earlier. As the weighted average deposit rate for banks stabilized at around 0.2% at the end of August, the trend of consumers switching savings towards credit unions continued to be observed. Concurrently, banks' weighted average loan rate was relatively unchanged at 6.8%. And now to the outlook. The outlook for the Barbados economy is for a sustained recovery and a strengthening of performance indicators over the medium term. However, actual outcomes will be influenced by government's success in implementing the program that it has agreed with the IMF. In this regard, meeting the targets under the program criteria will unlock additional foreign inflows from the IMF and our multilateral partners and facilitate a further buildup of reserves. The program targets a gradual improvement in the import reserve cover from 6.5 weeks at mid-2018 to more than 16 weeks by 2022. However, the anticipated early receipt of funds and the stronger than expected buildup during the third quarter of the year should enable a somewhat faster accumulation of reserves than originally thought. Accelerated accumulation of reserves is desirable at this time, given the economy's vulnerability to external economic and climatic shocks and the impact that such holdings have on confidence in the economy. Government's fiscal consolidation is central to maintaining the adjustment effort, as government is making progress towards achieving the targeted primary surplus of 3.3% for the current fiscal year. However, any delays in implementation of new tax measures and in expenditure reduction, particularly for state-owned enterprises, will need to be monitored carefully. The targeted primary surplus of 6% from fiscal year 2019-2020 represents a major consolidation effort. With the exception of the Jamaican economy, which achieved an average primary surplus of over 7% over the past 3 years, other Caribbean economies had average primary surpluses of less than 1% in fiscal 2017. The strong adjustment for Barbados is required because of the need to reduce the heavy indebtedness to create fiscal space and reduce reliance on central bank financing. Of note, however, is the threat posed to foreign exchange earnings and to revenues created by the pressure from the OECD to reform the international business legislation so as to remove perceived ring fencing of that sector because of lower tax rates than those applied to firms operating in the domestic economy. Reforms in the public sector, reflected in tax policy, improved tax administration, and public spending, are therefore crucial to medium-term recovery. Increased accountability and efficiency of state-owned enterprises lie at the core of the reforms, as evidenced by the planned early amendment to the Financial Management and Audit Act and the requirement for timely reporting by SOEs. Some job losses have occurred in government's quest to modernize how the public sector works. Further losses are expected as government reviews the operations of some of its large SOEs. It is envisaged that the expenditure reforms will result in the delivery of some services at lower cost to government. Privatization has the potential to enfranchise some workers on the one hand and to lead to the retraining and reskilling of others on the other. The debt restructuring will contribute substantially to the adjustment effort. Lower debt service will assist in creating critical fiscal space for a moderate increase in infrastructural spending, enable government to reduce the stock of arrears to the private sector and the NAS on a phased basis, and create conditions for an upgrade in the country's credit rating. Institutions and individuals will be impacted by reduced cash flows occasioned by the restructuring. Individuals heavily dependent on bond income will receive lower interest income on the new securities. However, this will be partly mitigated by the quarterly amortization payments that represent a feature of these instruments. Although banks and other financial institutions have not had their principal balances cut, they will face accounting losses because of the change in cash flows. Banks have large capital buffers, and with most of them having already adopted the new international financial reporting standards, they're expected to be able to cushion the impact of government's debt restructuring. The adjustment efforts are expected to dampen economic activity. The bank now expects negative growth of 0.25% to 0.75% for 2018. Output in 2019 is forecast to be in the range of 0.5% to 1%, but the actual outcome will be influenced by the speed with which new investments, particularly in the private sector, occur. These have the potential to absorb some of the labor that government is shedding. In addition, the 2019 English cricket tour is anticipated to boost activity at the same time as the emerging medical education sector gains root. Increased airlift out of the United States creates the potential for a strong uptick in activity. Given the elimination of the NSRL, the inflation rate is expected to fall. The current forecast for 2018 and 2019 is now 4.3% and 2.7% respectively. However, volatile oil prices remain a threat to the trajectory of the inflation rate. This positive outlook requires the effort and commitment of all stakeholders to ensure that planned reforms achieve their intended goals. I thank you.